speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You know, the city of Chicago has been noted in our day as one of the most liberal cities in our nation. Why are they so liberal in Chicago? I believe in part it goes all the way back to 1929 when the city was being ran, at least at large part, by a man by the name of Al Capone. Al Capone was a very notorious, a very well-known criminal of the day, a gangster. And in this, he ran prostitution rings and also ran bootleg liquor throughout the city and abroad, even on the outskirts of Chicago, that brought in millions of dollars to him and his counterparts in that day. As we think in regard to how he was able to accomplish this in running the city, good people, most of the politicians as well as many in the police force were on the take. These individuals were being bought out by Al Capone and his individuals who followed him. And those individuals who refused to go along with Al Capone, they were threatened or, even worse, their lives were taken. And Capone was moving forward and being able to make millions upon top of millions without any disruption. That is, until a certain 26-year-old, a Treasury agent by the name of Elliot Ness, finally said, enough is enough. And Ness chose 11 men, handpicked 11 men, that he would use to battle against Al Capone and his men, and they would stand opposing them and they would raid their operation. This went on for some time, and then finally Al Capone put a hit out on Ness and his men. And in fact, during the time in which this hit was put out upon them, Elliot Ness's best friend was, his life was taken. But still at the same time, Elliot did not allow this to stand in his way of doing what was right and still opposing Al Capone. Finally, Capone said, you know, I'm going to take a more friendlier approach. I'm going to send him an envelope with $2,000 in it. Elliot Ness was making $2,800 a year. Don't forget, this was 1929. An envelope with $2,000 in it, and the messenger who delivered it also delivered the message that inside this envelope, what you will find is $2,000, and if you agree to back off of Al Capone, you will receive an envelope each week with $2,000 in it. That no doubt must have been tempting, at least for some men. Elliot Ness looked inside the envelope, and sure enough, counted out $2,000. He put the $2,000 back into the envelope, handed it back to the messenger and said, you tell Al Capone that I cannot be bought. He appeared before the local media and explained how that Capone had offered him $2,000 to be one of his men on the take and that he would not and his men could not be bought. The headlines in the paper the next day said, Elliot Ness and his men are the untouchables. In a day where corruption, immorality, and unethical practices was running rampant, this man and his 11 other men who served with him chose to live righteous, chose to live above those others in that day and age. From the book of Proverbs chapter 11, God identifies that He calls us to live in a righteous and godly way. We also learn from the book of Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 that God wants us to live according to mercy with our fellow man. He wants us to live according to the standards of love, but also God calls upon us to live in a righteous and holy manner. God calls upon us to be men and women of legend in our day. He wants us to be known as men and women of integrity. He wants us to be identified amongst the people of our modern age as people who cannot be bought. He wants us to stand head and shoulders above others as people of righteousness, not being able to walk according to unrighteousness, but rather to be sold upon the righteousness of our God. good people the Bible identifies to us in regard to our God is that He is indeed the epitome of what righteousness is. Well, what does it mean in regard to God being righteous? Good people, we understand that our God is good. And God is good in all of His ways. And His goodness is not only expressed, but His goodness is seen and experienced in our own individual lives. And we're able to not only to see the way in which God works in good ways in our lives, we're able to read from the context of the Scripture and to see that God has always operated in a good manner. God is holy and He is righteous and He is fair unto all of mankind. And God has never changed in regard to His righteousness. And the Scripture also tells us that God delights in the righteousness of mankind. Whenever God sees man living in a righteous way, whenever He identifies those individuals who are truly His children and that His children want to live high in the high standards that He prescribes, then God delights in this. Well, what does it mean that God delights in our righteous ways? It means that God is pleased with us. It means that God takes pleasure whenever He sees individuals who not only know Him, but that people who want to live their life in accordance to the standards that He prescribes for all of humanity to know and then to live by. But also, God delights in this and God is pleased. Why? Because as you and I would choose to live according to the righteous standards of our God, God also then is glorified. And God calls upon mankind to live according to righteousness. When God tells us to live according to His righteousness, what is it that He wants us to understand? Good people, He wants us to live according to the right way. And the right way, according to God, is not according to our own way. Why? Because there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. And therefore, living right is not choosing for ourselves as to the direction that we will allow our path to go, but rather, it is living according to the standards that God lays down through His holy and inspired Word. It's not also living according to the way of the world. Why? Because the way of the world is not according to the will of God. And because of that, then, God identifies that we need to know righteousness by coming to know Him and then following according to the righteousness that He prescribes for us. God wants us to live right. He wants us to live righteous. He expects you and me as Christians to live in an upright manner, in an upright way before one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But also, God expects us to live in an upright way in all of our affairs that we come in contact with in and throughout the course of this life. With our fellow man, God wants us to live in an upright way. He wants our fellow man to understand that certainly we not only claim to be His children, but rather that we also identify as His children. Why? Because He is righteous and they are able then to look at our lives and to see the righteousness that is consistent within our lives. And God offers righteousness unto every single soul. He does not have an elect few that He calls into righteousness, but rather God wants all of humanity to come to know Him. And in coming to know Him, then to obey Him. And as man then obeys the Lord, then they also have a responsibility to live in a righteous way before our God. As you and I are called to righteousness, then God also extends righteousness unto every single soul that dwells amongst us. And you and I need to be that light shining forth the righteousness of God so that they will understand that we are not like them, but also that they will understand that the way in which you and I live in a righteous way is indeed a more superior way. And then they will come to understand that this is the will of God even for them and their soul. Not to give their lives over to unrighteousness, but rather to live according to the righteousness of our God in their lives. As we think in regard to righteousness, good people, I think also in the context of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, where Jesus spoke in regard to the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And as you look to the context of Matthew chapter 23 verses 1 through 3, you will see that in their dealings with their fellow man, the Jew, They were demanding righteousness amongst these individuals, and they could have and they should have been demanding God's people to live according to righteousness. Why? Because righteousness is not something that came about under the law of Christ, but rather God has always wanted man to live according to His righteous ways. And in the context, we understand concerning the scribes and the Pharisees is that these were the religious leaders of the day. They were the scholars of the day. They were the individuals who should have understood what true righteousness was, and therefore, as they're standing and teaching the people of that day concerning what it is that God wants of them to live according to righteousness, they had a right to do so. Why? Because they were indeed the authority of that day. And they told the others, in fact, of what God demanded of them in order for them to live according to true righteousness. That God did not want them to be involved in the evil affairs of life. That God did not want them to think upon things in the same way in which their fellow man thought upon things, but rather that they were to reconstruct their thoughts, to think in a way that would be consistent with the will of God. And as they were living their life, that they were to turn away from the evil and righteousness of the world and to turn unto the righteous way of our God. These religious leaders made certain that the people of their day understood from a verbal standpoint what it meant to live in a righteous way. And as they appeared before the Jews of that time, they put on a righteous appearance. But yet at the same time, the context of Scripture identifies unto us is that these religious leaders were not living up to the par. They were not living up to the standards that they were telling the people themselves to live according to. Well, what were they doing? They were saying one thing and they were doing another. The Scripture identifies to us from the context of Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 and following, is that they were living in a hypocritical way. These religious leaders who were demanding and teaching the righteousness of God, they were living in an unrighteous and foolish and ungodly way. And in fact, Jesus rebuked them for such and told them that they needed not only to be concerned with the outside appearance of the cup, but rather to make certain that the saucer was cleaned from the inside out. And certainly that not only was true and applicable for them during that time, but that's also should be applied to us today, is that as we look to our lives, is that it's more than an outward appearance, but rather we need to start from the inside and to make sure that our lives are consistent with the things that we are thinking from the inside out. In regard to these individuals, we see that they sinned against God in an unrighteous way. They were living a life that was unrighteous in the sight of God. And in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, Jesus said that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter in to the kingdom of heaven. God said to those people of that day, you need to have a righteousness that supersedes, a righteousness that is better, a righteousness that is so much different than the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, what's He saying concerning these individuals? Their unrighteous ways was going to keep them out of heaven. And if it was going to keep them out of heaven, good people, that still would hold true today. If you and I live in an unrighteous way, we will by no means be able to enter into the heavenly, the eternal reward that our Lord and Savior has prepared for us in heaven someday. The Bible identifies to us as that all unrighteousness equals sin in the sight of God. And therefore, by way of deduction, we're able to come to the conclusion to say then that anything that we would do that would be contrary or inconsistent with the law of God, that God would see that as unrighteousness, and as a result then of that, according to what we find in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15, that unrighteousness or ungodliness then would be identified in God's sight as sin. Who's responsible for living in an unrighteous way? The Scripture identifies to us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 that there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, what does that mean? The people, that does not mean that as Christians that we're incapable of living according to righteousness, but what He simply says is that at some point in people's lives, they become accountable before God. And in that state of accountability, then they are seen as unrighteous in the sight of God. Why? Because of the violation that they commit against the righteous standards of God. And as a result then of that living unrighteousness and being accountable before God for this unrighteousness, these individuals then stand in the sin that will separate them from our God. And how does God look at our sin and unrighteousness? The Bible makes it very clear that God hates the sin of unrighteousness. God hates it whenever He sees individuals who live in ignorance and they live a life of unrighteousness. Because people also, God hates it whenever individuals who do it by choice, individuals who know to do good, but yet at the same time they do it not to Him or to them, they sin against God. James chapter 4 and verse 17. And when God looks down upon us and we are living our life in a way that is contrary to His will, when we're living our life in sin or according to unrighteousness, the Bible identifies that God hates that sin. And why does God hate that sin of unrighteousness so much? Because God Himself is righteous and He can have absolutely nothing to do with sin or those who are dwelling in unrighteousness. And God realizes what you and I oftentimes fail to consume, to contemplate. And that is that sin is serious. And that unrighteousness will separate us from the love of God and the eternal relationship that God wants with us. And if you and I would come to that point in our lives where we would hate sin and unrighteousness in the same way in which God looks upon these things, then, good people, our walk with God and our salvation would be more assured. As we think in regard to unrighteousness, these unrighteous souls will be eternally lost in the day of judgment. Every one of us will give an account of God in that great day. And according to the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul dealt with individuals who had been converted to Christ, but before that they had lived according to unrighteousness. And he praises them for coming out of that unrighteousness and now being converted over to the will of God. But he identifies in the midst of the context that if they had continued in that way, or even if they were to revert back to that way, is that they would not be able to inherit the kingdom of our God. Where does righteousness begin? Good people, it begins whenever we have a desire to be different. God wants us to understand that the way of the world is not His way. And God wants us to see that whenever the world is living according to the standards that are not prescribed by Him, whenever they're living a life that is in unrighteousness, that God sees that as sin. And He wants us to see that we need to be separated from the world, to live in the world, and also to have an influence and an impact upon society, and upon our family, and upon friends, upon people that we come in contact with on a day in and day out basis, but yet at the same time, to not allow the world to have that influence upon us. And you and I need to determine within our minds to say, I'm not going to be like the world. I'm going to be different. Why? Because God is different. And because God calls upon those who are His children, those who live in righteousness, those who want to live right before Him, they've got to be different than individuals in the world. And therefore, we need to desire first and foremost to stand apart from the world. And how do we come to an understanding then of righteousness? It's not innate. It's not something that is natural. Naturally, we go according to unrighteousness. Why? Because that's what the flesh leads us to. And therefore, righteousness needs to be learned. Where do we learn concerning the righteousness of God as well as the righteous type of life that God calls upon us to live according to? We come to learn those things whenever we read and study from His inspired Word. Whenever we read about God and understand the way that He is holy and the holiness then that He calls upon us to be within our own individual lives. And we learn that by reading and studying the Bible ourselves, but also we learn that by coming and assembling together with the righteous people, with God's holy people upon the opportunities that we are afforded to be able to be together upon the first day of the week as His people to learn from His holy message concerning the righteousness that He commands of us. But also, moms and dads, I want to encourage you to do it at home. to sit and to study with your children and to make sure that not only do we teach them the words of God concerning righteousness, but also that we live consistent with true righteousness in front of them each and every day, is that they do not hear saying one thing and yet doing another. That they understand how much we love our God and how important He is to us. And that we put this into practice in our life every single day. And upon the Lord's Day, that we demonstrate how much we love God by being with God's people and then involving ourselves with God's people every chance that we have, so that our children see this, but also so that we're able to draw from one another and to be able to live a more righteous way in the sight of God. Our righteousness in part feeds off of one another. And as we come to understand these things and then to appreciate it, God calls upon us to obey our righteous Savior in all things. We obey Christ in baptism, and in baptism our sins are washed away. And it's at that point that God sees us as righteous. We were people before baptism who God looked upon as unrighteous or living in sin in an ungodly way. And now, whenever we have been baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away and God sees us different than He's ever seen us before. He sees us as pure in His sight. He sees us as an individual no longer looking to us, but looking rather through the blood of Christ at us. And He's able to see us as just people. The word just or justified means to be just as if we had never sinned. To be righteous in the sight of God is a way in which He sees us whenever we obey our righteous Savior in baptism. But then also, then, we must practice righteousness every single day of our life. How do you desire, or how do you get to the point to where you are no longer falling, at least willfully, unto unrighteousness? And how do you get to the point to where your righteous days outweigh your unrighteousness? It's by practicing. It's by taking thought. It's by intending each and every day to do better. Eliot Ness, we mentioned him at the forefront of our lesson. He had determined in his mind, as well as I assume the other 11 men, they had sat down and said, "We're not taking a bribe. We're not going to go like Al Capone wants us to go. We're going to live above." And as Christian, God wants us to determine in our hearts that we're going to live above the world and that we're going to practice these things no matter what. And then God will be pleased with us. But I will tell you, it's not easy to live according to the righteousness of God. I know that from your standpoint, because there was a day when I wasn't a gospel preacher and I worked in the secular world, and I know the things that the world has to offer. And I will tell you from a gospel preacher standpoint, it's not easy to live according to righteousness. It's so much easier to live according to the unrighteousness that the world has. Why? Because the devil is alive. And the devil is indeed persistent. He is able to transform himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. And he is our opponent. He is our adversary, constantly coming at us, hoping to devour us, to pull us away from God. And also, as we live in the world, we want so much to be able to be accepted by the world. But yet at the same time, living like Christians is not always capable. We're not always able to be accepted by the people of the world. Why? Because we are different. And the people look at us and see that we are different, and therefore they mock our righteousness. And I know that those things can hurt us. Our emotions, our feelings, and those things can even pull at us. And good people understand that that is a ploy of the devil to pull at us and to pull then us away from God. And human nature then also leans towards ungodliness. And therefore ourselves might desire to go according to the unrighteous ways of God. And as we might desire those things, then we would become more susceptible to falling off. Why? Because we have been there before. We've lived in an unrighteous way at some point, at least in our lives. And human nature then leans to going back to that type of a way.
but also righteous living requires concentration. And we get so distracted so easily by the things that this world has to offer. We get distracted with trying to make a living for our families. We get distracted whenever it comes to doing things with our families, our children, whether they're in the home or even whenever they've grown the home. We get so distracted in trying to lay up for the future. And yet at the same time, it seems like it's a no-win situation. And I realize and I know these things, and I know that if we realize and know these things, that our God is greater than us. And He knows and realizes all that we go through, and God says, concentrate on the things that are above. Concentrate upon the things that are right. Give yourself over in focus to the things that are righteous and godly. And the other things will not matter. In fact, God says that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto us. And if you look to the context of what He means, all these things shall be added unto us. He's speaking about our personal, physical, fleshly well-being. He's not going to leave us out in the middle fending for ourselves, but rather He's going to be there with us and for us and help us through the things that we face in life. If we will just choose to live righteous and to concentrate upon righteousness each and every day of our lives. You see, the Bible identifies as that righteousness is seen by God. He looks upon us every single day. He's not, as the deists say, that God removed Himself after creating the earth and that He has nothing to do with it. That's not true. God created the heavens, the earth, and mankind, and God has constantly looked upon us, and God providentially still today, He's connected with His creation and He's working continually. And the Bible identifies that our God looks upon us and He sees us as His righteous people living according to His righteousness, but also, good people, let's look at and think about the other side of the coin. If He sees us living in righteousness, then also of necessity, does He also then see us when we would live in unrighteousness? He would and He does. And that thought within itself ought to motivate us. It ought to provoke us to live in a righteous way, to know that someday we will stand before the presence of our God. Righteousness also offers peace. And we live in an age today where we want peace. I am so aggravated, but also at the same time, my heart is saddened by the things that are going on over in the Middle East. And to see that group called ISIS, those Islamics who are constantly coming against Christianity, and it tears my heart apart to see the way in which those people over there who are claiming Christianity are losing their life, and they're losing, if they're not losing their life, they're losing an ability, a freedom to worship a Creator or to even learn about the Creator. And what I am terrified about is that it's not going to stay in the Middle East, but it's going to come here. And in fact, we've seen tentacles of that here in the United States already. We live in a world today where we want peace, but let's be truthful about it. The peace that we have, it's not going to last forever. We may go through times where we have peace and times where we do not. We long for those things. And the only true peace that we have in this world, the assurance of true peace, is found through Jesus Christ our Lord, our righteous Savior. And as you and I would live our lives according to the righteousness of God, then in reading from the Scripture, the assurance then that this gives us of our relationship with God ought to bring peace of mind to us, that no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, individually or as a nation, we know that we are at peace with our Creator. And that within itself is a blessing. The Bible identifies that righteousness also leads into eternal life. And having just said what I've stated in regard to this world, I can't wait for eternal life.
because there we will be able to be in the presence of our God. And there we will have absolutely nothing to worry about. All of the trials of life will be gone. All of the temptation that we face in this life, there will be no more. Whenever we are able to be counted as faithful children in the sight of God, eternally we will dwell with our God and our Heavenly Father. How do we get there? By living according to the righteousness of God. And good people, also we understand that righteousness, according to the Scripture, exalts a nation. How will we turn our nation around? We've got to start today. We should have started years ago as a people. But you and I as Christians must not cave in to the unrighteousness of the world in any form, but rather every day live an exemplary life before the world to what true righteousness is. And in that we live a life that is consistent with the will of God. We speak in ways that people will know that we are truly living according to the righteous ways of God. And then we also operate within this society, voting and everything else, to do those things according to righteousness. And whenever we do, then hopefully we will have an impact upon the world, and the world then will be changed over a course of time. Where does it begin? In righteousness. Where does our life with God begin? By obeying our righteous Savior, Jesus Christ. And then not only submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then to be raised out of that watery grave of baptism, then we have an obligation to walk in newness of life. What is that newness of life, good people? That is to walk according to the righteous standards of God. How long do we walk according to the righteous standards of God? As long as we are here. Why? Because our righteousness will determine where we will spend eternity.